Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no goes based on the data you had printed LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going fine.
Okay, retro, go. Fido, go. Guide, go. Control, go. Telcom, go. Jinsei, go. Econ, go. Surgeon, go. Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And I just got back from a wild ride in the Sierra Nevadas. I live here in Northern California. I'm your host, John Almada. And what a show we had last night, but what a day I had today. I mean, we had a totally kick-you-know-what kind of show. Last night, lots of great readings, and it was really appreciative of all the people that showed up. So that was one of our tag team shows, and this time we had three mediums on all at the same time, and we were able to deliver some really good readings. So I had a great time. But today we were up near Kirkwood Ski Resort, and we're driving all through the Sierras and looking at and doing photography. A little bit of fishing. I did some metal detecting and a whole bunch of stuff, recording audio for my meditation tapes. I was out next to a river, and I was bringing my studio gear with me and did a couple of tracks out there, so got that going. Let's see. We've got a few people in here Sunday night here in late October, and things are changing. And by the way, it was just beautiful out there. There were so many trees that were turning color. And I've got a lot of pictures to load up on Facebook, so I'll be doing that after the show tonight. I'll be putting a bunch up on a new album and sharing those with all my friends out there. But anyway, I just wanted to say hi to Kathy. Has showed up. Kathy's Distant Echoes. We've got Cupid's Psychic, and I can't read that part, but I think it's my guest. I should be more. Yeah, I just can't read the end of it because it looks like it runs over. Anyway, Cupid's Psychic. I'm just going to say Cupid's Healing Hearts because that's what she is. Anyway, I'm getting embarrassed here. She's healing my heart already. Okay, here we go. We've got Margaritaville. We have Mary Lou Who. We've got Mustang Sally 2642. What happened to the other 2,641? I cannot talk today. Anyway, Nancy, Mom is out there. Nancy, I really was worried about you with the earthquakes yesterday. You were, during the show. So it looks like you're still here, and things didn't shake up too bad out there. Psychic of Light and Stardove, and we have other lurkers out there, I know, and we'll see more people popping in. I have with me Amy Eros. She was actually born on Valentine's Day, and she thinks that, not only thinks but feels it's. I gotta read this script very a little bit better today. Let me revamp my speech here. We're gonna start over because I'm feeling a little better here now. Okay, here we go. Amy Eros was born on Valentine's Day and feels that it's her divine mission in life to help others explore the world of the unseen. so that they may gain insight and clarity on all issues that trouble their hearts and minds. Through a series of divine synchronistic experiences, Amy has been receiving messages from beyond this realm since the age of 4. The little voice that has always been with her from the time she was a little girl is her spirit guide, Ziola, and it's spelled X-V-I-I-O-L-A. And Ziola is an intricate part of Amy's readings, and her participation in Amy's readings vary from person to person. Amy does ask Ziola questions out loud during her readings, so be aware of that, with some of the things that will happen tonight. So she'll actually be consulting. This is the first time I've ever gotten to see this kind of a way of reading, so I'm eager to see this too. And so be aware that it's not anything out of the ordinary. It's just her way of speaking with spirit. Amy is a natural-born psychic with the gifts of clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance, and empathy. She's a founding futurist of her company. I like that. Cupid's Healing Hearts, founded in the spring of 2008. And by the way, let me post this out in chat. It is her website. It's called www.cupidshealinghearts.com. And I really like the way she did this site. I'm a professional web designer, and I really like the way it's just—it's a perfect site. So just get out there and take a look at it. And it's got some great music when you first go in, so be aware of that. I think she's got the little off switch at the bottom if you want to turn off the sound while you're listening to the show. So just check that out. Anyway, continuing on with the bio, we have, after gaining a bachelor's degree in criminology from DeSales University and 6 years of experience in the corporate world as a sales and marketing manager in the travel and hospitality industries, Amy decided to commit her life fully to helping others with her gifts. Amy is a self-taught tarot card reader and has been reading the tarot for over 16 years. She brings a high level of integrity to each and every reading she conducts and prides herself on being extremely honest in her work and will only tell the absolute truth when reading with her clients. She delivers all of the messages she gets with compassion and empathy. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. I will say one thing. Before we go on, there's something that there's a page on her site called About Me. And it had an Emily Dickinson poem. And it says, if I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin unto his nest again, I shall not live in vain. And that's by Emily Dickinson. I just thought that was a really neat poem there, so I thought I'd share that. First time I've ever read that one. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and bring her on. And you are on, my dear.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for a beautiful introduction. I got chilled.
Oh, you're welcome. I just spent the whole day. It was a mad rush in a Ford F-150 with my two cousins down the hill to get here on time to do the show. So I was like, I jumped in the shower, grabbed dinner, slammed it, and got in here and was heating the studio up in record time. So, but yes, thank you. I saw so many beautiful things today. It's just, I'm in a really great mood. So I'm ready to rock, man.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really pleased to be here tonight. I've never been on your show before, and it's such an honor. And a privilege. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we were going to have you on in September, but we were both going through kind of a sick spell there, and so we postponed it. And I really wanted to do this with you because when I saw your website, I mean, I just looked and I went, this is really a well balanced site. I mean, it's nice. It doesn't try to do too much. It doesn't do too little. It's just right. And, you know, amazing thing. You don't have to have too much in a website to make it effective. So, anyway, that's just a professional compliment. But,
thank you.
Yeah. Age of 4. You know, tell me a little bit about how that all started with you. What was your earliest memory of some of the things that, you know, you started experiencing? And where did that take you?
Well, there's a couple of different memories I could talk about. The first memory I'd like to speak about when you were talking about the age of 4. One day I had two older sisters. There were two older half sisters, and I have a younger sister as well that was there as well. And I was actually downstairs on my older sister's bed, kind of sitting there, 4 years old, and sitting on the side of the bed. And I just remember, clear as day, and I don't have many memories from that time, but I just really remember hearing my guide for the first time say to me, you will be different than all of your sisters. You're not going to be like them. It's going to be different for you. And at the time, you know, I'm thinking, wow. You know, I didn't really know what was going on because it was a different type of voice. You know, we all have our internal voices, the voice of our mind.
Yeah.
This was different, though. And it wasn't so much that it was, a different voice that I was hearing. It felt different if a sound could feel that way. Do you know what I mean? The sound vibration, the feeling I got with that was different than my own mind's voice would give me.
Yeah, I know exactly. I had something like that. I started at the age of 5 with experiences, and at 10 years old, I had a similar event to what you had. So I know what you mean. It stops you in your tracks like, what the hell is this?
You know? Right, even at 4, right?
Yeah. You know, there's something not right here, you know?
Yeah, this is a different way of thinking almost. You know, it's not thinking. So, you know, and that turned out, I mean, gosh, that was 29 years ago, and that turned out to be, I guess, the first prediction that she had made for me, and it totally came true. I mean, I'm the only one of my, of the 4 sisters that went to college. I'm the only one of my 4 sisters who did not get pregnant either right out of high school or in their early 20s. I don't have any children today, never got married. You know, I just took a different path with my life. You know, not to say there was anything wrong with the path that they chose, but it definitely, my path was definitely a different one.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. go ahead.
Guilty as charged. I'm in the same boat. You know, we have so many come on the show like this. They get these, it's like the bolt of the blue thing, and they get led down this path and into extraordinary lives, you know. And so it's a calling. That's what I think, you know. What you had happen was a calling.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
And there were a couple other things that happened briefly I could mention. I was named after my grandmother. Her name was Amy Elizabeth. My father's mother, who had passed away about 4 years before I was born. And my dad and her were very, very close. So when I was born, I was his first child, and he named me after her. And I always felt this, you know, affinity for her, not having known her, but I was, you know, I've always been very, very, very close with my dad, even more so than my mother. And so he used to tell me stories about her. And he showed me one day when I think I was 3, 4, 5 years old, something like this. He showed me this heart-shaped box that had a blue topaz ring of hers in it. And he said, you know, she used to wear this perfume, and if you kind of try and get your nose up against this box or into this box, you can smell what she used to smell like. And I was like, wow, you know how kids are with, like, senses, you know. So one day, I had some problems with my older half-sisters. They were teenagers, and, you know, like, one of them in particular used to pick on me a little bit. So one day, this had happened, and I grabbed the heart-shaped box. My parents weren't home. She was babysitting me. I grabbed this heart-shaped box, and I went into my dad's closet, and I was upset. I gotten spanked or something, and I didn't understand what was going on. I did anything. So anyway, I'm at the bottom of this black closet with the door closed and this heart-shaped ring box. And I open it up, and I'm just breathing it, you know, trying to calm down, thinking that the scent of this grandmother that I never met would help, because it was a very comforting scent. You know, kids are very keen on scent. So I'm breathing this, and all of a sudden, like, you know, when you shut your eyes and you rub your eyes really, really, really hard, you can start seeing images and forms and, like, things like stars. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And in
it's
the
like
dark,
circles and little patterns, yeah.
Yeah, and in the dark, you know, I'm crying, so I'm wiping my eyes, you know, and I open them, and I see this woman, and you know, it didn't look like an actual image of like a person. It looked more like the outline, the starry outline of this woman, and she was there in the closet with me. And, you know, I was talking to her, and I said, you know, I don't understand what I did. And she said to me, it's going to be okay. Your dad's going to be home soon. You didn't do anything wrong. And she sat with me in that closet. And, I mean, still to this day, I mean, at 4 or 5 years old, 3, whatever I was at that time, I was very young, but I remember feeling the presence. You know what I mean? This was not like a kid's imagination running wild. Like the scent was there. I don't know if the scent brought this out and this image into form or whatever, but I felt the presence of her, and it was very comforting and very soothing and calming. And that had happened as well. So after that, I started writing letters to her. And when we went to the cemetery to visit her grave, I would leave her these letters. And had a real affinity, I mean, from a young age about that kind of a relationship with a woman that, yes, I was named after, so maybe that's why I was so interested, but had never met. And that kind of strikes me looking back today. Most kids, I mean, would they be thinking that way? Would most kids put aside the toys and start writing to their dead grandmother?
No, it's but you know, when you have these kinds of gifts, you know, showing up, and you have parents that, in my own case was similar sorts of events, not exactly the same stuff, but what I noticed that it was that my parents were very accepting of this because it was a thing throughout my family, and they just let it happen. And it seems that those children that just naturally grow into it, these things happen, you know. And if you don't come in and tell these children that they're wrong for having these things, or somehow you just escape through the filters,
right,
and you just continue to do it, it's like it becomes a fabric, you know, part of the fabric of your adult life, and it just makes for an amazing life, you know. So yeah. I mean, now what happened afterwards? I mean, you were taking the letters to her, and what other things occurred after that?
Well, you know, I always felt that she was with me. And growing up, I think the more we get enculturated, you know, the more we start finding out about what other people think about this stuff. My parents were always very open, especially my dad. My mom, you know, was open, but to a certain point. But these are things, like looking back, I really wasn't talking about all that much. You know, my dad knew I was writing to his mother. He knew that I was leaving, you know, flowers and letters for her at her grave. You know, and it was very touching to him. But it wasn't something I was really, like, talking a lot about. And then, you know, for me, the experience was, you know, pre-puberty, and then puberty hit. And everything went out the window about all of that, you know. I started getting into, you know, boys and cars and, you know, all the typical teenage stuff, you know, friends and peer groups and school. But once I got into horses, too. I used to show horses and got really involved with horses, love horses, always have. But then, you know, it was funny. Through a series, I got into the corporate world. Okay, let's fast forward. I'm 19. I get into the corporate world, starting out as an administrative assistant, had a 6-year run. It was a great run. Corporate world totally was not for me, John. I don't know about you, but I just couldn't. I could do it. I could do it very well, but my heart was completely not in it.
I have spent, I work in aerospace, and I've spent a lifetime, you know, in that business, and I'm 52 years old, and I'm 20. Coming up on 27 years in corporate America, and I have done my time.
Yes,
I am so ready to go become a medium full time and do the things I do. And I'm starting my own media company, producing products and doing that. Kind of going the direction you're going. It took me a little while longer to get to that point, but I am so ready. Oh God. You are a smart lady for realizing these things early, because when you know something's not right for you and you've grown out of it, it's time to let go and just move on to the next thing and follow your heart, because your heart will never lead you wrong. You know?
Well,
so,
the funny thing is, you know, I knew the change was coming, but it's funny when we don't make that change and we know we have to, the universe steps in and says, okay, well, we're going to just give you a little push.
Yep.
I was dealing with a boss that was sexually harassing another coworker. I was dealing with a boss that was reneging on a commission contract they had that actually jipped me out of about $30,000. It was like, you either need to go now or we'll make the circumstances such that you have to. And that's basically what happened. So, and thank God, you know, and I want to tell everybody listening out there, you know, if you're having a problem with a boss or an employer, or, you know, you lose your job, don't automatically jump to the idea that this is the worst thing that ever happened, because for me, it was the key to my liberation personally. It was a turning point in my life. And, you know, anyone looking at it would say, oh, my God, you lost, you know, the 401k, the benefits, you know. My dad was saying even, you know, very spiritual man, you know, you should get something with a pension. This is not good. And But when everybody saw how I came back from that and said, hey, look, now I don't have to be in a suit. I don't have to do the 9-to-5. I was traveling all over the country living out of a suitcase half the time. When everybody saw how that was working for me financially, even better than corporate America, people started kind of nodding their heads and saying, well, wow, you know, that's great. So I have a life beyond my wildest dreams today, and it's all because, you know, well, part of it is because I was willing to kind of go with that idea and say, okay, I don't need a corporate job. It doesn't have to be this way. And that's another point in time where my guide stepped in and said to me, when I was looking, and I, you know, after I left the company I was with, I was looking, and I just heard her say, why don't you read for people? Like, start slow. Do emails. And I'm like, email readings. So I started getting on eBay and doing these email readings thinking, you know, oh, my God, this is scary. Because at that point, now I was, let's see, I started doing this. Yeah, I mean, gosh, I was in my 20s still. I was, like, afraid of the idea of reading for the general public because I've been reading for family. I've been reading for friends. But yeah. No one, I didn't know. So I started on eBay just doing these email readings, and people were giving me rave reviews and saying, wow, they're coming true, it's accurate, you're wonderful, and I'm thinking, okay. And then I'd gotten a client, now here's synchronicity at work. I'd gotten a client off of eBay that said, have you ever heard of a site called keen.com? And I said, no, what's that? And they explained to me it's a psychic website where you can speak with psychics on a permanent basis over the phone. And that idea scared me to death, John, because I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be live on the phone with these people. Oh,
oh
no.
Oh, I know the terror. Trust me. I tried doing mediumship on a radio show, and you've got to call it, and you're going through. I mean, there are some nights, boy, you really hit them out of the park, and others, it's like, oh, dear goodness, why did I even get up this morning? But, I mean, more often than not, you know, what you learn is you learn the comfort of it, and you learn to meditate before. You know, I never go on without meditating. Every time I have, I've gotten my butt kicked. But what I've learned is it's just that once you get over that hump, oh, dear goodness, it's like breathing air. It's just the most wonderful feeling. I mean, and I'm sure that's what happened with you. I mean, it just, once you got past that, it's like, wow.
Well, yeah, it was once I got past the doubt. You know, I like to say this a lot. A psychic or medium's worst enemy, it's a psychic or medium's kryptonite, if you will, is self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So once I put that on the shelf and said, okay, I know I can do this, you know, and really started getting with my guide more because, you know, I mean, it's funny, this relationship I've had with Ziola over the years, it's been challenging because, you know, in our culture, we're told that, you know, if you hear voices, you're probably schizophrenic. If you hear voices, there's something wrong with you. You know what I mean? So there's that idea,
yep.
You know, not that I thought that there was something wrong with me, but I'm thinking, is this really happening? Is this real? And, you know, I kept taking a look at the things I was telling you about earlier in the show, and I'm like, yes, it is real. I know it's real. It's definitely real. So once I could get past that and stop doubting it and questioning it, all the information started flowing in, and I was shocked when I got out of my own way how much she had to say, you know, and I'm like, wow, this is just great. So, you know, anyone out there, and I hear this, you know, question a lot, you know, how do you get in touch with your spirit guide? How, I mean, the first place for me, you said meditation, absolutely. The second point I'd make is, you know, throw doubt out the window. You know, have the confidence in your intuition. Everybody has the ability to do this. I think the thing that sets people like you and I apart from the rest of the world is we believe in it. You know what I mean? We don't have the doubt. We know and we trust.
Yeah, we do. It's exactly that way. I mean, the last 6 years has been a real formative time for me because I went through a whole period very similar to you. You know, early age experiences, teen years, into my 20s, it kind of waned, and then all of a sudden, wham, I actually had a heart attack at age 28, and I actually left my body. I was actually being worked on, and when I came out of it, I had basically left my body, and I was left with a lot of questions. And that started opening one door and then another and another. And I never would have believed from that age 28 forward to this moment now in time that I would have been doing this. But it changed my life, and there's a purpose to all this. You know, we're called to do these things. And you're exactly right. I mean, when you talk about, like, the job loss and the different key events in your life, you can look at them at the time and see, oh, that was terrible. But no. That's part of the fabric and story of your life, that if you hadn't had those experiences, it wouldn't have brought you to where you're at now. And it was meant to be. That's part of the life pattern you agreed to. So I just thank God for everything that's happened. You know, even this thing that I'm going through right now, I mean, I'm facing job loss. And I'm looking at it with a constructive attitude. It's like, okay, yeah, let's go. Let's make the change. Let's do what we got to do. And, you know, I'm ready to roll, you know, and take this the next step, because, you know, I've been doing these shows for about 2 years now. And, you know, mediumship in the last year. And I'm so comfortable with it now. And I'm ready to do private stuff. So, listening to your story just inspired me. You know, I'm like, yeah, she did it. I can do this, you know.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, what's funny is what I see is so many different mediums and psychics have so many different styles, and it always works. It's like an individualistic thing and a pattern. You know, when I read the way you read, I was like, wow, I've never thought of that. I never thought about just having a conversation out loud. You know, usually I just see symbols. I was like, okay, I got to see this.
Well, you know, the thing I was thinking of, and she did tell me when we started out, you know, talk to me. And I was like, what? And here we go again with the doubt, right? If I'm talking to somebody out loud, then I must believe that there's somebody there, or I wouldn't be wasting my breath, right? And spoken word, vibrationally, energetically, is so much more powerful than thought. So on a couple of different fronts, it really works. Plus, you know, we're so used to me having my human experience here, the spiritual being having the human experience. When we talk with each other, we're so used to saying things out loud, right, so the other person can hear us. And it's funny, when I repeat questions out loud, whether I'm working with, you know, I always do, whether I'm working with a tarot or my guide or I'm doing both, it's just, yeah, it's really much easier for me to hear her if I say it out loud. It's almost like then the answer comes bouncing back. Do you know what I mean? It just kind of simplifies things for me. That's why I do it that way. But I'm glad you guys kicked ass with it.
I'm gonna give it a whirl I'm just gonna give this a try on a private, you know, because I mean, I'm so used to doing it the way I do it, because what happens with me is I clear my mind. I'll be actually speaking with people, and it's like I subdivide my mind. And what happens is I have a spirit, you know, that comes through, and I'll suddenly get a picture in my mind, and it opens like a channel. And I don't know how to explain this any other way, but it's like I've got two things going on at once. My conscious mind is doing one thing. My subconscious mind is linked to the spirit. And the next thing I know, I'm uttering things that I didn't even, you know, think about. There was no thought. It was like I was just moved to say that. And so often it happens on the show that, you know, it's like I'll say these things and I don't even know where the hell I came from, you know. And I mean, it's just this impulse that comes through, and then you suddenly get insights as to what the spirit is saying, and you find that they're playing back pieces of your life. So that you know, and your symbols. So I read a lot like, you know, John Edward or, you know, Holland or some of the other, you know, the big time mediums do. Yeah. It's just the way I evolved that. But I'm going to give it a whirl. I'm going to give what you do a whirl. I mean, because you're right. I think that if you do speak out loud, it adds validity to the fact that you're speaking to the entity. You know?
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It does. You know, and it's funny. I don't know if you work with one guide who kind of like acts as your go-between for the other spirits like I do. But what really happens is like, and it's funny because it's the same guide I'm talking to, and I know that. But sometimes she'll answer me in like all these different ways. Like, that's why I talk about clairaudience. You know, yes, I will hear her. But sometimes clairvoyantly, she will show me a picture. A lot of the times, she will talk to me like in themes, like the tarot. So like, for instance, like I'll be asking the question out loud. I'm not really even looking at my cards, or maybe I'm still shuffling them even, and I'll see the Hangman or the Eight of Swords or the Ace of Swords, and she'll be telling me what that represents to her in this conversation by giving me like symbols like you were talking about. So it's all like this language that it's almost like she's speaking English, German, Swedish, French, and Dutch at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, what I've found is that they speak a language of feeling, and it's my job to interpret that. And what happens is funny. It's funny because I'm clairaudient. You know, I'll hear them at times, and I hear it both, but in both forms. You know, the subjective and objective clairaudience, where sometimes you'll just hear it. I mean, it's like they're speaking to you. It's like a voice, and you're going, wow. And it's not often, but I have it happen enough that it's like, that's really neat. You know, it just leaves you breathless when you actually hear them. And then you get the subjective, which is in your mind, but you're hearing it, and it's a whole different way of hearing clairaudience. And then the clairvoyance, you know, definitely. I mean, it seems like we have those two. Generally, most mediums and psychics have two or three of the faculties that they really, you know, kind of work with, that you know, they gravitate to, and it just seems like it's once you develop your own patterns, your guide locks in with that. Now, I have several guides, but they tend to not really announce themselves so much by name. I know one's name is Ganda, and he was an Indian warrior from India. And he's there just to, he gives me a lot of strength. And, then I have, Sarah, who was a woman from, what I believe to be Scotland. And there's another one who has never announced her name, but she's there. And I don't know what she does. I don't know why she's there, but I sense the presence, this feminine presence around. So I don't bring them on the air so much, but they're always there with me, you know, and it's like when I start the show up, I acknowledge them, you know, and bring them in and say a prayer for a good show. Yeah. And they're great.
I wanted to ask you a question about Sarah. It was funny. As soon as you said her name, I got like lost with Sarah. And I feel like you're there more for her is what I'm hearing. Like you're there more for her. I just feel like this is like a brokenhearted woman who has some needs, like lost somebody who's having kind of that filled, that void filled in being with you. It's kind of strange. Do you know much about her or what the backstory is to her at all?
Well, I am there's a reason for the Scottish thing because I'm half Scottish Highlander and I'm a direct descendant of Rob Roy MacGregor. Okay. He's the historical figure, okay? But the other side of the family are Portuguese, but they're Portuguese who landed in the Azores, and they're not your normal Portuguese. These are Vikings who landed in the Azores and stayed. They're 6'5", 6'6", blonde, blue-eyed, and red-haired people. So I'm mostly Celtic. I have this other mix of, some mongrel stuff going on, but mostly a Celtic background. And I have felt this woman from the day that, from the time I had my heart problem where I, you know, and I had a timing issue that's since resolved itself. But, in my early years, this was something I was battling. And it just ended up, I developed this relationship with this spirit guide. And she's been a constant presence, and she's just always been real warm, real life affirming with me, very supportive, and just constantly just nudging me, saying, "Use your gifts, it's okay, go for it." And I've always felt that she was really there to support me, you know. And it's funny you would say that. I never considered that, but I'm actually helping her.
Yeah, you feel like a pseudo husband to her or something. It's strange. Sorry. Not to be inappropriate, but it feels like there's this kinship there that's almost borderline, like, I don't know, like kindred souls, you know? Like, I don't, pseudo husband is the best way to put it.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because I'm divorced 10 years and I'm currently between relationships. So, well, I've got a spirit girlfriend on the other side. I'm going to have to talk to her about that. I think she's getting a big laugh out of this right now. She thinks
I think
so funny.
So.
God is sitting there looking at like, oh dear God.
But it was funny when you were explaining how she's been encouraging you, you know, I kind of just see her leaning over your shoulder, like, you know, like almost like a wife would with a husband and say, you know, come on, do this, you know, you can do this.
Yeah. She has been this just amazing support. Yeah. She was the first one that came in. Gonda showed up last year. Just before I had a major illness hit me, and I was knocked out of the running for a few months, and you know, I just got back on the show here about May June time frame, and started getting back on the in the circuit and doing my thing, and he showed up, and he's been there to, I think he's kind of like been assigned to help get me back up into fighting form. And he's been great, you know. I mean, every time I turn around, this guy's like, you know, just egging me on and wanting me to work harder. So I like that about him, and he's riding my butt to eat better and exercise. And I'm like, okay, dude, I'll do it. But I never talk much about them. This is as much as I've ever revealed on the air, you know, about my guides. You know, it's I don't know. Now I've told you a bunch, but you got to tell me about how's Ziola, right? How do you say
Ziola? Yes, her name's Ziola.
How did that happen? About, I mean, when did she come into your life? Tell us the details, girl.
Okay, well, you know, I told you before in the beginning, I've heard her voice since the age of four. Now, with the help of another friend who's a psychic, you know, I had called this friend one night and I said, you know, I need to know more about this woman that I talked to. I don't know what her name is. I don't know enough about her. I know that, you know, I know a couple of things, but, you know, basically I asked her to help me, you know, with this, and she gave me a reading and she said, well, and she'd never met me in person. She's from California, from Santa Barbara, in fact. So, you know, we've been talking long distance for a while. So she said to me, well, what do you think her name is? And I said, what? You know, because I was always under the impression, like most people are, that they have a given name. Do you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
You know, it should be told to you by, you know, someone else that, you know, has maybe a higher authority or psychic view than you do. You know, you can't name your own guide or whatever. And so I asked her, I said, you know, what do you mean? And she said, ask her her name. And I'm like, you know, and times before I had, you know, kind of fought it, you know, I'd said, well, what's your name? You know, and didn't really, you know, hear it because I'm full of doubt still, you know what I mean? So in just this momentary epiphany, I said out loud, what is your name? And I heard Ziola. And I'm like, Ziola? And the only thing I'd ever heard about Ziola was that it was this figure actually in this band, Jane's Addiction. The lead singer, Perry Farrell, had some kind of relationship with this junkie and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I was like, how does this make any sense? You know, but I heard it very loud. So I was like, okay. She said, but, the psychic said, there's a difference with, you're thinking like Z, right? And I said, yeah, like how would you spell that? And she said, there is a significance in her name. You have to spell it with a 17 in it because, and she I never told her this. She said, your favorite card in the tarot is the star card. The star card is number 17 in the tarot, and it's in her name as well. So you're going to spell it X-V-I-I-O-L-A. And, you know, it's funny, the other day I'm sitting there looking at something with her name on it, you know, and I looked at it again and I said, oh my God, it says 17 and then hola, like in Spanish, you know, hello. But,
oh, no.
And I thought, wow, you know, this has been like years since I discovered her name. And I'm thinking, wow, it doesn't really matter, you know, what her name is, but the fact that it was put together that way or it was explained to me that way was kind of unique. So in talking and having this conversation with her, she said to me, there's something else that you need to know about her. She looks just like you. And I was like, you know, this woman never saw a picture of me. And she began to describe me. She said she's about 5'4", 5'5". She has long, light brown hair, She has these beautiful big blue eyes and very, very fair skin. And I just about dropped the phone. I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. And I said, you know, I've heard from her that we are star sisters before. She told me we're star sisters. What does this mean? And I was explained to me, she said, well, what I'm hearing is that the two of you were doing work on a star. Now, that sounds a little, you know, outlandish, right? So years go by after this reading, and I'm thinking, yeah, we had some kind of like this sisterhood on a star. So I'm on Blog Talk Radio, and I get this starseed reading by another reader who informs me that I'm a Pleiadian and talks about the Pleiades, you know, the seven, and again, my favorite number, like a 17-7 connection. My moon is in Taurus, and this is where, like, astrology and starseed readings and psychic readings and the tarot and all of this universal spiritual language, like, come together. The star system actually sits at the eye of Taurus in the constellation. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, like, I, you know, insight, vision, Taurus, my emotions are there. Like, all this stuff, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is just, all these connections were just, like, firing, you know what I mean? And I'm like, gosh, I'm still finding out more and more about her and this connection to her. And I guess it really doesn't matter so much, but the fact that I can go, like, for years thinking, like, I know all I'm going to know, and then something else like that happens, I get into astrology, I find out what my moon sign is, I find out what that means emotionally, you know, I'm ruled by Taurus, and then the Pleiades thing with the star seed reading, like, all of these things just started kind of clicking, and I'm like, this makes way too much sense. This is crazy. So that's pretty much what I know about her. I want to start doing, and I've been reading a book, Opening to Channel. I'm going to have to look at the author so I can quote it properly here, but I've been reading that book about channeling and writing your channelings, you know. So I've put the book down. I'm about halfway through. But I'd like to start, you know, asking her more in-depth questions about herself and about our relationship and channeling those through writing to kind of see what I come up with. But it's a great book if anyone else is looking to kind of open to channel and learn more about guides and such. That's a great book. It's by Sanaya Roman is what her name is. I think there's actually a co-author to that, though. I'm going to have to look that up. But, Dwayne Packer is the co-author. So that's Roman, R-O-M-A-N, and Dwayne Packer, and it's called Opening to Channel. Great book about different, you know, ways of channeling, different ways of getting with guides, different ways of doing things. I'd like to find out even more. I just haven't, you know, daily life, you know, our humanness kind of gets in the way. We got bills to pay, people to talk to, things to do. But, it's something I'm working on, you know, as much as I can. Do you find the same struggle to spend enough time in a spiritual realm and not neglect the physical?
It's a balancing act, and I've found you touched on a couple of points that really hit home with me, because one of the things is I've been doing this a long, long time. You know, I mean, I've got, you know, 46 years, you know, having experiences, you know, and it's culminated to this point where we're having this conversation. And one of the things I found out, often and continues to happen, is I find out how little I know and how much I know. And I find that those realizations seem to come in waves. And it seems like when you're ready for these sudden epiphanies to come about, then they're revealed to you. And it's only when your mind is ready to absorb that information, then you are, you know, those neurons fire. And that your spirit, you know, is being primed and set up for this, with these experiences, so that you can go to the next level. And for me, the experiences seem to happen about every 3 to 6 months. I'll have a whole nother new perspective based on someone I met, some book I read. I just did my mediumship certification in July, and I sort of got it. A lot of people were telling me, oh, no, John, you don't need that. And it's like, you know, I need it. Trust me, I need this. They're telling me I need this. And so I went and read and went through all the lessons, and it was like, oh, my God, I understand. You know, it's like I understand the terminologies and why they are the way they are, and what the reasons are for these, you know, these sorts of, you know, the five clairs, what the different senses mean, what, you know, how to conduct a reading, what the structure of a reading is, you know, and how you, you know, present evidence, and then how you, you know, present the message. And, you know, there's a whole science to that. And when you go through that, it just makes you better. You know, it makes you better. And then you start to appreciate other aspects, you know. So you're going to find that throughout your career. You're going to find the same thing. I mean, it's going to blossom in areas, and other times you're going to hit plateaus and you're going to wonder why, and you just relax, you know, because the spirit's got you parked there for a reason. And when you've internalized that, boom, and the next thing you know, the ride gets really wild.
Right. And it has been. It's been a series of ups and downs, and very interesting. I've learned so much. I mean, you know, doing this full time, I guess, I think I'm going on my fourth year now doing this full time. It's been really, really cool. And a leap of faith at that, too, because, you know, we're kind of in doing this, you know, as a profession, going, you know, really thinking outside the box and going off on a limb and saying, am I going to be able to do this? You know? And the answer is, yeah.
Well, you've inspired me. I'm even more primed than ever. I mean, I just opened my practice. I mean, I just set up my shop and am doing. Oh yeah, Kathy's going Johns Valley. Like totally for sure. I'm a Northern California chick. Anyway, sorry. But I'm in Northern California. Like totally. Anyway, I just lost track, whatever. But I just opened up my practice and I'm just starting. You know, so. September I did it. I mean, I took the first step and I'm just starting to read for people and I'm really enjoying it. And so, you know, Carrie out there just had a reading with me and, I am looking forward to this. So, but, hey, you know what? We have got callers waiting for you.
How wonderful.
Are you ready to, you know, show a little bit about what you do?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
I'm ready. You're ready.
Okay, we've had a very patient 817 caller out there, and I also see Dreammaker has a chat question. So, I think probably we'll mix that up a little bit. So I'll just start in, and here we go. So 817, I'm bringing you on, and I see 207 and 551 out there. 817, you're on SoulStream, and you know, welcome, and we have Amy here for you.
Hi, Amy. Hi, John.
It's
Dardev, and my given name is Molly, and we were supposed to talk a couple of weeks ago, John, and then you hurt your back.
Oh, yeah.
So I finally caught up with you.
Well, hell, yeah. You got to rope me and throw me down and put a zip tie on me. That's the only way to get me.
Well, I sat for a long time last night, and I thought, I'm going to call in early tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what. Did you want me to actually give you a call at some point? I mean, to talk over whatever?
No. I tell you what, the reason we were going to communicate was because you were doing Kathy's show and you were hitting on a lot of things that I have people in spirit.
Yeah.
You were hitting on a lot of things that I could go,
me too.
So Chris was, I think, on the line, and she was like, hey, John, put Molly first in the queue tomorrow, and then you hurt your back. So here we are, a couple of weeks later, and I was first in the queue.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can work with you on it after. You know, we can do a Facebook thing or, you know, go back and forth that way. Do you want to do that?
Well, whatever. If we can see what Amy can tap into. And, I've got so many spirits over there. We're in spirit guides. And so it should be interesting.
Okay. Let's go for it.
So, Molly, do you have a particular area? It really works better for Ziola and I if you could give me, like, an area to look at or a particular question that you have. I know, John, there's other people waiting, so I don't want to take too much time, but what is it that
I think we're good on time.
Okay.
Well, basically, I was just wondering, you know, if there was anyone standing there, any spirits that were wanting to get through with any kind of message.
Okay. Let me take a look. Spirits around Molly. Okay, as soon as I say that, I'm coming up with a man. Feels like an older man. Let me just ask a little bit more about this, because that's just the initial I get. Let's see. Older man.
I can say yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting
a number.
This man is telling me that in life he focused on the downside of things. I'm getting a pessimist at heart is what I'm hearing. Like there's a focus on what's missing, what's wrong, what's not quite right. And he's saying that's carried over to where he is now. It's improving is what he's saying. He's working on it. But I'm just getting this kind of disappointment when he's looking back at his life and the way he's handled certain things, if that makes sense. He's saying
I would recognize that energy as a paternal grandfather on the maternal side.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure on what side this is. Just,
I mean, you know.
I'm getting just that it's an older gentleman, someone who was drawn to pessimism, someone who's looked over his life and is a little bit disappointed. He's saying in life he was a little bit, you know, pessimistic, looking at what was wrong or what was missing or what was right, tended to needlessly worry, had sleep problems as well, but is starting to kind of come out of that. Let me just see if there's a message for you from this person. Let's just
okay.
see. There's a message from this person to Molly. Is there a message? Okay, this is the message that's coming through. I'm getting, there's a bit of a, what he's saying is, with regards to communication between you and spirit, there's a bit of a communication breakdown that's causing some frustration. What he's saying is, there is much guidance there for you, but there's a need for more, I'm getting meditation, for more quiet time, for more solace. It's almost like you've got to make the time and take a break in order to get back in touch, if that means. And he's saying very loud, back in touch.
Okay.
So I don't know if this is something that you've tried before, but this is coming up strongly, like there's a lot of guidance. And actually, he's also saying that you could help people with this as well, other people, to learn how to tap in. So you're coming up kind of the way he's presenting you to me is like a teacher.
Yes, I am. Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah.
He's saying you can also start teaching this as well.
Yes.
You have to start taking the time out to do it. It's weird. It's like juxtaposed. It's almost like, you know, usually you have to apply yourself to do something. This is more like you need to stop applying yourself in order to get this one. So, there's a need for meditation. Do you take much time as far as taking time out, taking time for solace, for quiet space, for meditation, this kind of thing? Because that's what he's saying the problem is with communication and teaching. Yes.
Right, and I haven't taken enough quiet time lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like in real life, I got so involved with mental health that my spiritual self, but my readings and spiritual community and that type of thing kind of took a back burner to work and mental health people, you know, and so I've kind of retired from the mental health business, and it's time for me to get back to what I know and do best.
I see. Yeah. Let me ask you something too, because this gentleman is telling me that there was some kind of dramatic shakeup in your life, and I'm trying to get him to tell me a little bit more. But what I'm seeing, Ziola's showing me like a wrecking ball. Almost like a wrecking ball coming in out of nowhere, and kind of everything is revealed for what it is, and it just feels like this is like a complete, like what you're left with is ground zero. And there's still some emotions about that. So it feels like a little bit of like a, I don't want to call it like a devastating thing, but it's almost like a shake-up, an epiphany. It's almost like something coming to light out of nowhere, you know, realizing exactly what the foundation of what your life was at that point was, and it wasn't all solid. It feels
well,
like... Hmm?
I was going to say, if this is the grandfather that I recognize, that would be, you know, kind of pessimistic. The same year he passed, I was widowed. And also lost, I mean, it was 1977, and I had a lot of major losses in my life that year. And, you know, being widowed was a huge one.
Yeah, so this is almost just like something, I don't believe this was very expected, because what I get is like this came out of nowhere, and it was almost like everything fell apart, you know, all at once, almost like a wrecking ball demolishing a building.
Yeah, it was a car wreck that took my husband, and it was like a wrecking ball hit his head, but
oh,
it was called an 18-wheeler.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, it's been many years, Amy, so, you know, we do co-own.
Yeah.
At the time, it was definitely a huge challenge, you know, but life goes on, and, you know, you heal, and, yeah, there are times when the emotions still come up, you know, because the love is still there.
Right. Because he's saying, you know, there's still some emotion about that, and, of course, I mean, anyone going through an experience like that years and years and years later, of course you're going to still have feelings about it, but he's just showing me that's still with you, like that impression is still there.
Right. Well, I've had three children from that marriage.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right, it's going to be there, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm asking him if he has any words of wisdom or advice for you right now. And I have to ask you, did this guy have, like, facial hair? Because, like, now he's showing me a little bit more of his face, and I'm just feeling like some kind of either gray, it feels gray, it feels a little bit dirty, like a goatee or something, like something on his face.
No, my grandfather was clean-shaven, but he had a full head of hair. I mean, he had very thick silver hair, I never, in my lifetime, I never saw him with facial hair.
Okay, yeah, for some reason he's showing me this, like, it feels like a goatee, but it just feels like gray. So I don't know if he's just trying to call attention to the color or what. But anyway, what the advice he was giving was to say that there's a little bit of a hardship that you're going through right now, and he's saying it's with regards to finances, because I'm seeing, like, waves of ups and downs. Also, mm-hmm. he's saying she's kind of emotionally disconnected from herself, and is not really speaking about this or really feeling anything about this right now. There's like some feelings there, but she's kind of disconnected the feelings so that she's not really feeling too much about this. But he's saying this is what the message here is, you know, be confident, know that you are the miracle worker. For some reason, he's calling you a miracle worker, like you can pull off the impossible. So whatever this hardship is, it does feel economic, not terrible, but it just looks almost like somebody who's trying to juggle a little bit.
Right.
He's saying you do pull it off. You do all the time. You can pull off anything. You know, you're the miracle worker. So believe in yourself. That's kind of what I'm hearing here. Like know that you're skilled, you're gifted. Because he's showing me like you, and I don't know why I'm seeing this, but like with all these tools in front of you, like you have all of these tools. It's almost like you had something wrapped up in cloth and it's being laid out and it's all these different tools. I mean, this is what your knowledge base is, I think, is what he's saying.
Right.
And there's so much that you know how to do. You've pulled it off before, these miracles. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but like I said, I don't think the economic problem is terrible, but it just feels a little bit shaky.
Right, and the economic thing, it's not my finances. It's one of my children who basically is in debt to me, if that makes sense.
Oh,
and
there's the finances.
That's the financial situation, and there's this pretty huge disconnect going on right now with one of our daughters, and it's a painful thing. But financially, it's about, you know, a kid, helping a kid.
That makes sense, because what he was showing me was, like I said before, that emotional disconnect, almost like,
right,
I don't want to feel anything about this right now.
Exactly.
It's kind of like, you know, I don't want to experience those feelings. And that's what was kind of confusing to me, because it said,
right,
you know, I heard, like, it's not that bad. You know what I mean? It's not some devastating, like, you know, ruinous situation for you, but it felt like you had to emotionally disconnect yourself about it.
Yeah, and I'm having to because if I dwell on the situation, you know, it's emotionally, I'll just start crying and be upset about it. So I have kind of, you know, tried to put up a wall between those feelings of the A, being disappointed, you know, in my child. And so that's kind of where I am with that. You know, financially, like I say, you know, we're not, you know, among the 1%, but we certainly, you know, don't have anything to worry about. But this particular child, yeah, has more than once, you know, gotten into financial situations, and you know, there's issues there that I hesitate to dwell on.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you are doing the right thing with the emotional disconnect, because, like, the way he's presenting you to me, he's showing you with, like, your heart in your hands, like, offering it up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's your natural inclination, I just heard, you know, like someone who wears their heart in their sleeve. I think that's why he's showing it in your hands.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Here it, you can see it, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm vulnerable to it here. But in this case, yeah, you can't do that, unfortunately. So he's saying the disconnect is actually the way to work the miracle.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Seriously, what's not in your natural inclination. Let me see if he has anything else to say. Any other message that's coming through for Molly from this gentleman, Domi? Any other... Okay, the last thing he's saying is about your spiritual gifts. What's coming up here is that there's a little bit of indecisiveness about your own gifts. Now, I don't know what this indecisiveness is. I can ask him, but he's saying he has to make a choice. Like, is this going to be, it's almost like you know it's supposed to be part of your, I heard repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
Why I'm getting that word, but this is supposed to be part of the deal, okay? So you need to make a choice is what I'm hearing, and I see vacillation on this choice. So I don't know if that makes sense to you. It's almost like you have the answer, you already know, but the choice has to be made. Like knowing, okay, now I'm getting it. Like now I'm, it's funny, my guide is using things from my own head. And I've read this in books, and it's funny that Opening to Channeling book talks about this all the time, how our minds are like databases, and all of the language, all of the words, all of the experiences, the films, everything we've seen, they pick and choose. And I'm hearing like a Bruce Lee quote about how application is everything. I think it's knowing is not enough. We must apply.
Right.
And there's another part of it. I'm not getting it right now. It's something about being willing is not enough. We must do. That's
right.
Kind of what I'm feeling for you. Like, knowing, fine, you already know, you already have the answer. Being willing to do it, that's great. Yes, and I feel you are, but there's like one last step that needs to be kind of taken, and I see you kind of like with your toe or your foot up in the air getting ready to place it down, but not really sure. That's what it feels like.
Right. Well, I'm going to be a guest on Blog Talk Radio this coming Thursday. And actually, you know, I kind of did last week because somebody just kind of dropped off the air and I was asked to call in and do some readings. And I really, you know, it was just spur of the moment. And I've also had a few people on Blog Talk approach me about getting together with them and, you know, getting a show. And so I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that, but I will be a guest this coming Thursday on a show. And so that's, you know, kind of getting back into the swing of things for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Because like I said, you know, for the last decade, mental health has taken over my life. And I've retired, and so it's like, I mean, although I still have a hand in mental health, but it's on a volunteer basis now. And, you know, it's just, you know, for 10 years that's been my life. And prior to that, you know, it was more about spirituality and, you know, the spiritual development circles and classes and seminary and, you know, learning all this. And then got involved in mental health, and sometimes we have to make, you know, we only have so many hours in the day and have to make choices, and I feel like I've shelved that part of my life in order to help others in a different way. And now I'm stepping back and saying, okay, I can still volunteer and do this over here, but, you know, I went to MHMR. I'm out of here. I'm done. So that's a good feeling, you know, to be able to retire, you know, because volunteering and working in mental health was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, very draining work.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the only other thing I'm getting is that there is a baby also over on the other side.
Oh, on the other side? Okay.
And I'm getting a male baby. And I don't know whose it is. I'm trying to, it does not feel like a baby of yours.
One daughter, the daughter that where I'm disconnected right now, had a miscarriage. Well, her son will be 2 years old this next month, and right before his conception, she had a miscarriage. As far as I know, I never have, but you know, she was just barely pregnant and lost that baby, and then we have the 2 year old. You know, now will shortly be two, so maybe.
I see. Yeah, it looks like a blonde baby. I don't know if that kind of matches up with your daughter and
yes,
her father.
Yes, two of my daughters and myself are fair-headed. Yeah, and she would, she would have a fair-headed child.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I found the older gentleman that came in before. But that's kind of all I'm getting. I'm seeing Ziola do like a little curtsy, and she does that when she's kind of like, okay, that's what I've got. That's all I have for you. But thank you so much for calling in. It's a pleasure reading.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate that, and I really do.
Good luck with everything.
Okay. And, John, maybe you can connect, and anybody that's listening, I'm on Facebook. I'm Stardove Moon. So, Stardove, like on Blog Talk, and then the word Moon. That's my grandma name. My grandkids call me Moon.
I don't usually do this, but I can't help it. I've got a male spirit here for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
He's back.
Well, yeah, but this, who's Edward?
Edward. Edward.
You know Eddie or Edward? I mean, I'm getting Ted or Ed. I'm going with Ed. But I'm getting this Ed character is hanging around you, and then I have your husband who's passed, and I got to ask you. You know, we'll put Eddie aside until because I think you're going to remember him at another point. But I'm getting this guy kept yelling at me. Tell her about Ed. To talk about Ed.
Wow.
Okay. And I don't know if this is one of your patients or what, but what I do get is your husband. Did your husband have premonitions of his accident?
Not that he shared. You know, that he shared. There was although a friend passed 4 months later that I do absolutely believe knew that, you know, he had premonitions, that, even though he was taken in an accident. I do know that friend. I know it with every fiber in my body. But not so much my husband.
Okay, well, I'm getting, I've got this Ed character who is with your husband, and I'm trying to understand this connection, what's going on here, but the two of them are coming through, and my third eye just is like on fire right now, and he's really wanting to get through to you. A, he didn't suffer, and B, this whole thing of... did he fly? Was he a pilot, or did he have an interest in aeronautics?
No, at the time he passed, I was working for Braniff myself, Braniff Airways, if anybody's old enough to remember Braniff.
Yeah, I remember Braniff.
Yeah, so I was when he was killed, I was working for Braniff.
That's what this is, because I was seeing airplanes, and I was assuming he was talking about him being a pilot, and so that's what this is about.
Okay. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt. Our oldest daughter's been flying since she was 19, and she's 44. So she's a flight attendant for many years.
Well, this is him kicking in. Now, who was the gentleman that passed 4 months after?
He was a very dear friend of ours, very dear. In fact, he introduced my first husband and I to the husband that I have now and have had for 33 years. Without him, yeah. I would never have met my husband. So he connected my first husband and I to my now husband, if you can keep up with that. And
And then he passes.
And then my husband passed, and then 4 months later, the friend that introduced me to my husband was also killed. In fact, both of them left my house, my home, where I still live. They both left this home and never returned, even the friend.
I think this Ed character is connected to the two of them in another way that you may find out later, because this Ed character is on the other side with them. I don't have your friend.
Guide.
Yeah. Well, no. This is I'm very clear on this. This is a human being who passed. That was knew of your husband, and I think knew of this other gentleman who I am not getting. And the three of them knew each other in life, and
wow.
The three of them passed within 5 years of each other. So I feel I'm getting the number five, and I'm going to go with this. It's 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, but the thing, the air connection, I that's evidentiary. And the thing that is really striking to me is your husband is coming through and saying he had premonitions. He knew something was going to happen.
Okay.
So he was as prepared as he could be. He didn't want to alarm you, but he knew that his time was coming. I think he was having dreams or nightmares or something like that before, and he was acting a little off. So I just feel like he knew things were announcing themselves for several months prior before this. And did you notice changes in the behavior?
No, but I do know that my oldest daughter has some very fundamental background due to my mom. And he reassured this daughter, who was only 10 at the time, that if something were, and this was shortly before his death, that she asked a direct question, and he reassured her that he would be in heaven.
This was shortly before
he passed. And I don't know why this moment I'm not connecting with the energy of Ed or Edward. Later on, I may smack myself in the head.
it's going to hit you or it doesn't. But what I do know is this. This man had something to do with your husband in terms of work or some past relationship that may have been a school thing. That's all I can divine from it right now is that
right.
There's this connection. And these three men knew each other.
And that's possible because my husband knew there were hundreds, literally hundreds of people at his funeral, many who I did not know. From the work
area.
Was
your husband college educated?
He did some additional training, but sales institute.
Yeah, what I'm getting is that the three of them had some sort of training or something that the three of them were associated in some group setting, and that's what this is, and that explains this. And they may even be going back to the elementary school. I know that they knew each other a long time, but it's just so strange that the three of them, go like they do in such a short time, And I think your dear friend, it was the same kind of a situation. Are you still connected with his family?
Everybody has passed in his family, pretty much. And I actually ended up being the keeper of four graves for his, for his family. And they're pretty. It's a long, sad story. But his grandmother ended up bearing three boys. And she outlived three boys, and that's a tough thing for any mother, grandmother, because it was literally his grandmother. But
Well, I'll leave it at that. And
okay.
They all said extend, and I've already extended because I knew what was going to happen. I've already extended because I had to because I could see it coming. 207, I see you out there, and I'm just trying to. I'm doing my host thing wrong today. Hello. Anyway, Molly, thank you for coming on, and I appreciate. But don't hurt your back. They're telling me.
Okay. I'll try not to lift my husband or anything crazy like that.
curious, you're using these giant fonts, and it totally screwed me up. I'm looking, going, what's going on in the chat room? Do I have a troll or something? Oh,
I had fish up on my screen. I had my back to the computer.
I will get a hold of you on Facebook, and we can talk some more about that other reading. But thank you for coming on.
That would be great, John. Thank you, and thank you, Amy. I appreciate both of you giving me the time.
Welcome, Molly. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. You were dialing in on that, my dear.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's a little bit tough for me sometimes to read for people that are deceased, but, you know, but it's connection to connection. But we had a pretty good connection, I think, Molly and I, so that went really well.
Yeah, I don't know what it was with these male spirits. I mean, that kind of threw me. I mean, I'm still feeling the connection to this guy. He's just hanging out. I don't know who Ed is, but Ed's definitely around. Okay. 207. We've got a 207 caller. I'm going to bring them on. 207, you're on Soul Stream. What's your name? Where are you from? And we're here to do what you got to do.
Yes. Hi. Good evening. Good evening. My name is Tom. I'm calling from Northern Maine. My question for Amy is, hi. My question
hi,
is,
Tom.
Hi, can you just pick up on me and see generally what's happening with me the next month or so?
The next month or so. Okay. Is there a particular area you want me to focus on or just whatever comes at me?
Just whatever comes to you.
Okay. Okay. Let me just take a look.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, show us what Tom is going to be going through in the next month. What's going on with him? Show me what's going on with him, Zayla. What's going on with Tom from Maine? Okay, first thing she shows me is this funny, or like fog cloud. Like he's in a fog is what I'm hearing. Confused over his options. This has to do with work. So there's some kind of confusion over options with regards to work. She is saying that this is going to be improving. So over the next month, I wouldn't expect anything but progress and growth in a positive direction here. That's what I'm getting. So does that make sense to you? That the first thing she tells me is, like, you're looking at all your different options and you're kind of confused. There's a lot of daydreaming. There's a lot of living in your head. There's a lot of fantasizing. I could do this. I could do that. I could do this. I could do that. And they are saying you're going to be putting effort towards working that out and making that better, and it does feel like it's about work.
Okay, it is about work, and I have been putting my resumes out and my applications, and I can do just about anything and everything. It's not that far. I mean, I'm not a pilot, you know, or a priest, but anything with my hands and my mind, I'm very good at. I have a lot of background in a multitude of a very large range.
Yeah. Let me see if she'll give me any information as to what you'll be doing, because she is saying, like, when she showed me improving and being worked out, it felt to me, like, clairsentiently, like, this is something that you're good at. And I'm not saying that just to blow smoke. I would say, you know, honestly, if it was something that you've done not so much, or maybe you're a novice at, but it feels like something. Do you have some kind of, she makes me feel like there's something that you do that you're very good at, and I just keep feeling like there's a reference to, it's like there's a reference to construction, but it's not construction. It's something more than that. It's almost, it feels like an art. Do you know how, like, woodworkers are very good at their art? Someone might say, who doesn't know any better, that's construction work. You know what I mean? But it's not. I'm not saying it's woodworking. But it feels like something that there's detail involved. Do you know what I mean? There's time spent. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Because all I see is someone hammering away at, like, a wall. And I don't know what that means. I'm taking it as construction. There's something something with your hands.
Yeah, I do like to do body work on automobiles.
Are you really good at that, though? Because it doesn't really feel like that's resonating with me as being it.
No, I don't think that's it, because I didn't put any applications out for any kind of body work.
No.
I don't work for anybody. It takes the fun out of it for me.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like it's it. I'm trying to get her to give me a little bit more information as to what this is. Let's ask real quick. Sayola, what is this? What is it that you're trying to describe to me? Okay, there's two things that she's saying to me, okay? First, is it something that you love to do? There's, like, actual emotional connection in this. The second thing she's saying is that this is actually something to help other people. This feels like it's not charity, because I know you're going to be making money doing this. So don't get me wrong. It's not something that you're going to be doing for free
okay.
or for purpose.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good to know. There's nothing wrong with charity, but that's good to know.
No, it feels like the premise behind it actually helps people
okay.
that are less fortunate. So I don't know what that is, but I would write that down, because I really feel strongly that this is going to be solved in the next month for you. So I know you're weighing all your options. I know you're putting applications out. Let me just see if anything that you've applied for so far is going to be what comes through.
Okay.
Okay, I do see a bit of a pause. Are you trying to get into, this is what I'm seeing here, like it's either managerial stuff or teaching something. It almost feels like you're going to be a go-to guy. You know what I mean? Like he's the go-to guy is what she's saying. Like he would be the person people go to. It doesn't feel, again, like it's backing up the same initial impression that I had of you being like some kind of master at what you're doing with this. It's almost like you're not the peon. You're somebody, I need to put it that way, but you're someone that other people go to for direction or for advice or for instruction. That's what this feels like.
Wow.
So I don't know.
I'll write that down. Yeah. I don't either.
I don't know what it is that you're applying for, because you're saying, because when I initially opened it up, I saw like seven different things and this big like fog cloud and this like daydream, like I could do this, I could do this, I could do this, or maybe even that, maybe this, maybe that. There's so many different things, but I think what it's going to be is actually going to be A, helping people, B, you're going to be the go-to guy. So this feels almost like, I hate to say construction, because when I say that, it doesn't feel right, but it's something having to do with hands. It's hands-on. It definitely feels that way. It doesn't feel like when I said managerial before, that didn't feel right either. You don't feel like a guy that's sitting behind a desk somewhere, you know, managing
no.
a staff of 10 or 20. It doesn't feel corporate. It feels really authentic and real is what I like about it, actually, because it doesn't feel contrived. And she is saying, again, the heart is engaged, I heard. So this is going to be really improving for you. There's going to be a slight delay, though, so don't freak when a couple of weeks go by and you're like, what is going on, you know? What is going
on? I'm asking myself that already. But as long as it's something that I will enjoy, I will wait for it, because I have had too many employment and employers that I just didn't enjoy.
Right. I also feel to a certain degree, and this is not coming up in the here and now right now, but I think in the next, I'm hearing like year or two, you're going to be contemplating moving.
Okay.
I don't know how you
that
feel about that.
That resonates with me. Yes, that resonates with me.
Okay. Yeah, it's not, it's like on the back burner right now is what I'm getting, but in the next year or two, it's almost like the scales are going to be tipping even further in that direction. That's what it feels like to me. Not right now. It's almost like I've got other things to worry about right now. But the more time goes by, the next year or two, you're going to be seeing there's just too many reasons to move. You know what I mean? Not that they're all bad, you know, but it's almost like, hey, like the list went from like six to like, nine, you know, it's really
okay.
That way.
Okay.
And I feel like you're going south. Where did you say you were, Maine?
Yes.
Yeah. I can only go south.
Yeah. I can only go south, south to west, you know. Southwest.
It still feels like you're staying east, though. You still feel east coast after this transition, so I don't think you're going west.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't really get that. Not initially, but I think you're going to move again. This is really strange. I think, okay, so I'm hearing after that, like that's the initial move to get out of Maine, and then there's another push, and at that point you might go west, but it feels like you even further south from where you go and then a little bit west. If you're planning on going to California or like past the Sierra Nevada, I don't see you going that far.
I don't see myself thinking that way either. No. I'd probably stay on the East Coast.
Sorry,
a little
dude, man. We were looking forward to having you here, though, man.
I've been there already. On a whim, I moved down to Venice Beach in the 80s.
I'm sorry. I just was like, oh, man, I'm in California. I just like, we missed you, man. So anyway, I'm sorry. I had to say
no,
that.
You missed me. I was there in the 80s. I was there.
Okay. I think you're hitting right on it, you know, Amy. I mean, the thing that strikes me is it's the feeling with you. Just first glance, is that you really need to spin the dial and just really test out a few things, and see what really twirls your fancy and makes you really happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that might mean testing out some stuff, you know. So, you know, and imagine yourself actually doing the work. You don't even have to actually be doing it for real. Put yourself in your mind's eye that you actually are doing this work, and try it. And test the fit and see how does that make me feel, really feel in my heart of hearts and my gut of guts, and say, if you know, could you imagine yourself doing that work? And then that I think might open a door or two for you to explore. So just
I know.
And it's. I've done a lot of different kinds of jobs, and I've always used that tool. It's just it lets you get over the fear, you know, because you know
yes.
that. So that's what gets a lot of people with jobs. It's like, oh, I could never do that. Well, what if you could? What if you could? You know, what if
exactly?
You
exactly. Yeah. Well, see, I also had the feeling that you know I'm gonna get something that I enjoy that'll bring me good money. And it won't be like work.
That's exactly what work should be. Work should be a joyful thing that brings you reward. And when you leave it, it's because it's the vocation. It's the thing that makes up a part of you. It doesn't define who you are because you're more than the work. But it builds upon your soul. It's a part of it's an extension of who you are and how you express yourself. And when you get that energy out, it makes you better. And when you're in a job that you feel bad, you shouldn't be doing that.
No.
Yeah. So if it's survival stuff, okay. But get out of that after it's survival stuff. Go into the thing that makes you better.
Yeah, Tom, anyway. I mean, write this down. Like charity, nonprofit, it's something about helping like less fortunate people. I think it's lovely, actually, and very fitting for you. I just don't think it would be something that you would tend to look at and say, like I was saying before, it's not going to be charity in the fact that you make no money. It's going to be something that you're going to do, that you're going to really get a feeling of satisfaction from doing because you know you're doing something good for less fortunate people. That's what it feels like.
Yep.
Like the go-to guy, again, for the person they're going to. I don't know what it is. I wish I could tell you exactly what it is. I don't get exactly. But it's with your hands. It's not corporate. It's not behind a desk. It's something real.
Yeah. At the center of a storm.
Hey, now that's exciting. Is it a storm on the beach?
I don't know, but I, you know, it's almost like you're the orchestrator. It's like being in the center of an orchestra, and you've got the. I was just playing this for somebody last night at the end of the show. It was like I was playing the that song from. Let's see if I've actually got this. From Bruce Almighty, where he had just become God, and he's walking around and they're playing "I've Got the Power." That's gonna happen for you.
Okay.
So. I've got the
great.
Anyway, go get them. You're going to have a great time.
Yes.
You're going to do great. Okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great night, Tom. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
He's got a hell of a future ahead of him. He's just got to find that one thing, you know?
Yeah, and it's just, I think the whole thing is, it's almost like someone walking up to me when I was in corporate sales and marketing in the hospitality industry and saying, hey, you're going to be an online psychic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I know the feeling. I'm like going, I'm a computer scientist. You got to be nuts. Now here I am. I feel great. I'm having a great time. And, you know, I've been launching rockets my whole life. And, yeah, I was a rocket scientist, and now look what's happened. You know, and here you are. Same thing. It's like, you know, you walk around and you paste this friggin' identity on, and you think that's you, and you find out, no, that's just a throwaway. That's not really you.
Yeah, it's just a mask, right? I mean, and I think a lot of people have that challenge, which I don't think Tom has, but a lot of people start believing that I am what I do, you know, so much so that when they don't know who they are anymore, you know?
You're right. I mean, it was so funny. I was corporate webmaster for my company up till, you know, from about 1997 to 2006. And in 2006, I had a very severe shingles attack, and it went into my eyes, and I nearly went blind.
And you were talking
earlier in the show. You were talking about how you know, spirit will come in and kick your you know what and get your attention and change things. I was Mr. Type A personality. You know, I was real spiritual, but I was leading my life. You know, I was corporate America number one. I was the go-to guy, believe it or not. And I was the guy that was carrying 35 projects. And unfortunately, my body said no more. And what happened was I got extremely ill. I was out. I was in some of the worst pain I've ever been in my life. And I've had heart trouble that was easier to go through than this. And
oh my God.
I tell, it really changed everything. And it was a loss because I had to give up my corporate identity and become a programmer again. And do the programming work, and that's been shifting, you know, ever since. But it was it really opened my eyes to the fact that, you know, it took about 6 months, and when I finally, after the 6 months was over, and I was just mourning the loss of that identity, I just went, wow, you know, I'm still here, and I can do other stuff, and so it just launches you into these other things. So for those who are going through these life changes, realize that's just a mask. You know, and it's hard to let go of, and it takes a lot of work to do that. And don't be hard on yourself over it, because it isn't your fault. You know, you just have to go through it. And when you get to the other side, you find that you can put on another mask, and you learn to take these on and off like glasses, you know, like a pair of glasses.
Exactly.
Or gloves. Yeah, and so that's
exactly
what it is. And yeah, so I mean the mediumship thing, that's another mask, you know, because when we take that off, we're somebody else when we get done with the show and when we're done reading. But I really love this mask. It's one of my favorites.
Me too. You know, it's very hard to contemplate putting on another one, you know. It's like, I can't imagine. The other ones were so heavy and uncomfortable, and this one's just so me.
You feel so relaxed when you do it. I mean, and just listening to the way you read, it's very engaging, and what you're doing everything beautifully. I mean, it's just, you're in where you're supposed to be. And I see that, Manny. Okay. I'm doing that host thing. I've got a multitask here. I'm terrible at that. Anyway, let's see. We have a caller, another caller waiting here. Would you like one more reading before we? I extended slightly, and I didn't want to just hold you over because you might have a schedule, to hold to. So you're
well,
okay
I
with going?
I have time for a short reading if that's okay. I mean, you know, if we just don't go on. But
Manny. What I did is I extended because Manny was calling in, and I think he's read with you. He wanted me to read him. And I thought, well, I'll extend, and that way I can just, you know, work with you through and then move on. So,
I'd love to listen to you read Manny. Absolutely.
Okay. He disappeared. I mean, he was on and he's back, and I saw the line go. So I'm going to bring the 217 on to read. And 217, I think this is Judith, but I don't know. 217, you're on Soulstream.
John, it's Anastasia. I tricked you tonight.
Oh, usually it's Judith. I mean, it's your mom, but I knew it was one of you two.
Yeah. One of us.
You got me.
Well, I'll make it quick because I know Amy is in a hurry. But I feel that there is a message from a surrogate grandmother, and her name is Mrs. Sudarash. And Margaret is her first name. And I can't seem to get anything clearly myself, and so I thought I'd ask.
She was never married.
Okay, let me take a look. see. Okay. There is a message here from Margaret.
Okay.
What she's talking about is, the first thing is that she, and I know this sounds so generic, but just bear with me. She's saying, you know, I do look out for her. I do watch. I do see what's going on. The thing she's bringing up, she sees, is that there is some kind of connection in a relationship that you are having trouble moving on from. And her whole thing is, take the leap of faith, jump. Like, there needs to be fresh, clear perspective, almost like clean slate. Take the leap of faith. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's kind of what I'm getting. She's saying, like, the only thing that's really holding you back is the thought that you really can't move on. That's what I'm getting.
Now, can't move on from?
A relationship. There's some kind of relationship issue here, and it looks like a very true and mutual connection. I don't know who the relationship was, I mean, who it was with. I can try and get more information on that. But they are showing me a real...
It's an old one, you're saying.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, because it's showing you alone not being able to move forward. And I'm not saying you don't have a partner. I'd have to look at that, too, and ask her about that. But they're showing me, like, somebody bound, almost like I can't move forward.
Okay. Okay.
So she's saying, you know, I do see her. I am aware of this relationship issue. The only thing holding her back is her. She's free to go forward, but she doesn't realize that. It's almost like she can't see that. So she's got to take this leap of faith. It's almost like she needs to go out on a limb and just know that if you jump, it's almost like bridge jumping. I'm sure you've seen people jumping off these high bridges or bungee jumping. Or that's what I keep seeing. I keep seeing someone on the precipice, like getting ready to jump and trust that it's going to be okay.
I'm ready to, I mean, it's like there's a huge thing coming, so I'm like, I know I have to jump, so this is perfect. I mean, I know.
Oh, boy.
I mean, my whole life.
Oh, yeah.
Jump, so, I mean, I have to jump.
But they're saying you're wary. You know, she's saying you're wary, like almost like you're afraid, you're apprehensive. There's a little bit of a trust issue here, so I would really try and work through that and knowing that it's going to be okay rather than kind of holding all that, if you will, like scared, like I'm going to have to clobber somebody because somebody's going to do something to me. You know what I mean? Or it's not going to be okay.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm always thinking somebody's going to clobber me instead of just believing that it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it will be. It will be fine.
Just carry a bigger stick. back.
Great.
She doesn't need the stick, John.
I know. I just, it's a man thing. I'm sorry.
She's about to jump off the cliff.
Yeah, walk proud and carry a big stick or something. I've heard that thing before.
Jumping is the hardest thing to do. It's an act of absolute faith in the self. And sometimes you're going to land and it's going to hurt, but you get up and keep jumping because eventually you're going to fly.
Yeah.
I just got that. So that's supposed to be. Yeah. So.
Oh, my.
Does it make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Yeah. It's such a huge time for me. You have no idea.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. Oh. Well, thanks very much. Thanks. I really appreciate this.
Oh, you're welcome, honey. You're welcome. Good luck with that jump. Just shut your eyes and just do it. You know?
Do it. Okay.
Don't look down.
Okay. Call her after this.
Thanks so much. Thanks, John.
We love you.
Love you, too.
Okay.
Bye.
Well,
bye.
Well, Amy, I kept you over just a little, and I see Manny has called back in, so I'll be reading him. I'm sorry it ran you a little over there because it was a strange evening with all of this, but thank you for coming on with us. I mean, I really, really enjoyed having you on.
Oh, I've enjoyed being here. We'll have to do this again soon, definitely.
You have an open invitation. You know, if you want to do this in a few months, let me know. I'll pin you in and have you back because you're a very good medium and reader. And
thank you.
And you've got a lot of wisdom beyond your years. You know that.
Oh, John, you're sweet. You're making me blush.
Oh, you do. The thing I keep getting with you is you've done this many a times before, and the thing is too, the past lives you've had, those lessons are coming forward at a much earlier age, and so you're avoiding a lot of traps that other people, other people tend to get into. You are really you're advancing very, very quickly. So you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. This is this particular incarnation, it's a service one, but you're doing what you want to do, and it's just it's really good. I feel book with you, and I feel gallery work with you. I'm just doing a little impromptu reading.
Is that what you said, John?
I keep feeling like you're going to be reading in front of a lot of people. Are you doing readings in front of lots of people all at once?
Not yet. No, yeah. I mean, actually, it's funny. I used to bartend, and, I'd have, a packed bar, and I'd be reading the bar, and, usually another bartender would be around somebody who would just, pop in or whatever, and they'd say, go and read, and I'll just, take care of the drinks. People loved it. So I could see myself doing that. At the same time, though, it's kind of like when I told you when I first started out, the email readings were scary, the telephone readings were terrifying. A gallery reading would just mind-blowing, but I would do it.
I think you should. You've got a good media persona. You've got all the base elements are there. You've really worked all this out, and I think that's a natural next step. That's just the what I'm being led to say with you. It's I'm in the process of preparing to do gallery reading, and one of my assignments from my guides was to go see John Edward actually read. I actually get to see him in January. And I'm there there for like a school assignment. I mean, it's part of my mediumship training. I'm supposed to go watch John Edward. So I'm going to be sitting in the front row watching him, and I'm not even expecting to get read. I just want to watch how he works. It's going to be cool. I want to feel his energy right up close. So, that's the feel I get with you, is that you've got this tremendous presence, and I think you're going to be really, really good at it. I mean, you're already doing beautifully. But it's going to be a whole new step up for you. So, and are you looking at a book?
I've been thinking about writing a book for some time now, John. I just haven't been able to sit down. My life's kind of quieted down now for the first time in years. So, that's definitely going to be on the horizon. I just don't know exactly what I'm going to write about yet.
Well, take it in its own good time, but I think you've got an extraordinary future ahead of you, and I can't wait to have you back on. So,
oh, thank you so much. I can't wait to come back. It's been a real, real pleasure, John. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for being on then, Amy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Hey, take care, my love.
You too. You too. I'll stick around and listen to your read, Manny. Thanks so much again.
Oh, now the pressure's on.
John.
Okay. Do you want to just stay dialed in, or are you going to?
Yeah.
Because I can just. Okay, I'll just pop you on hold here then.
Okay, perfect. And we'll talk soon, honey. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. We have had a lovely show here. We extended the show here. We're going to read Manny. And I see Carrie out there, but she doesn't have her hand up. So I'm just going to jump into reading Manny. From Manny, you're on, and I saw you drop off. You were being hit by the electron gods.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. He got cut off about twice now. My luck.
What can I do? I did the extension mainly for you because I was looking at and I went, I've got to juggle things. I'm not going to have enough time. I'm going to have to extend. And then they were already yelling extend in the audience. And so it worked out. But where are you at, my friend? What part of the are you in?
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey. Okay. Jersey.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, close to 2 years ago, I basically got out of a 4-year relationship. It was a really long relationship. During that time, I lost both grandparents. I lost a friend at a war. I also had another friend who basically went in for surgery for a blood clot and never woke up. So I just got into this huge extreme depression where I lost about 50 pounds in 2 weeks. It was really bad.
Holy God.
Yeah, it was really bad. I wasn't eating, sleeping, just nothing. It was just, it was probably one of the worst times in my life. And doing a lot better now, thank God. And
yeah.
I'm just, now all of a sudden I'm starting to get into like a slump again. It's just like, I just feel like every person I meet, you know, every girl I meet actually, it just never works out. And I just want to know if you see anything coming up.
I drew, you know, one of the things I do when I read is the minute your voice starts, I mean, from the moment
mm-hmm.
I actually click the on button for you, and actually sometimes before I'll get spirits coming through, you know, but for, you know, in your case, it was like when I clicked the button, I started writing down everything you were saying, and then I started writing down the other stuff I'm getting from, you know, outside. And, you know, number one, health concern for you. I keep seeing heart around you. Is have you ever had heart trouble, or is there a heart thing going on with you?
No, but you know what? Lately, it's kind of weird. It's been happening. I'm actually going to go to the doctor, make an appointment. I'll start getting a pain in my tooth, and then it just shoots into, like, my chest, and it starts hurting and burning.
Okay, Manny, that's signs of a heart thing, okay?
Yeah.
And I have atrial fibrillation, all right? And I'm very experienced with it. You know, I started having trouble at age 19, 21
okay.
I went in, and I did another time, two times in coronary care, one at 28 and one at 42 years old. And the 42-year-old one was they caught me before I went into a major, you know, major heart attack and stopped it. And I was having similar things. My left arm went numb. I was having tightness across the chest, difficulty breathing, the works. And, you know, they gave me that medicine and stopped it. And it was the timing problem all over again. But it was kind of the last gasp of that. I haven't had any problems ever since. But in your case, that's something not to play with, okay?
Yeah.
If you start having that again, you get yourself into a, you know, see a physician immediately. I mean, that's nothing to play with. And if you're having it with the tooth, jaw pain is a real common thing. But, you know, I saw this heart thing all around you. And how old are you? Are you
27.
You know, 30? 47?
No, 27.
Okay,
yeah.
That, you're at, right at the age. You know, I had my big one at 42, you know, 28 mm-hmm. and then 42. And I've watched myself ever since. It's, you know, you really pay attention to yourself. The other thing, you know, and that may account for some of your depression. You may have a body thing going on that's your body's kind of trying to get your attention, and it's doing everything it can to pull in that, hey, you got stuff going on, dude. And, you know, the human being is made up of three different components: mind, body, spirit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And any one of those components starts malfunctioning, you know, you're not going to be at your whole self, and you're definitely not going to be relationship material. So get in there and get that looked at. Now, this 50-pound weight loss, when did this happen? Was this in the last, you know, 5 years or so?
Yeah, it was, I would say, almost 2 years now. Was basically, as soon as the relationship ended, I just went into, like, this huge depression to the point where I wasn't eating anything. Like, I couldn't eat at all. I would get lucky, like, just to get something in my system. I would eat, like, a piece of fruit. I wasn't hungry, but I knew I needed to eat something. I was passing out and everything.
You can never let that happen again to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, because of my Celtic background, I have seasonal effect. I have something called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. It's a common element in my family makeup. And I do use light therapy. I use a particular medication that's very safe and very helpful for me. And I manage that. And that's a thing that, you know. And here's the deal: we men, we believe we're supermen, and we think that we have the world by the tail, and we don't have to pay attention to all that health stuff. That's all for blah blah blah. And the problem is, like I said, you know, you can't get away with that very long before you either. You end up on the other side, and which you get to come back again until you get it right, or you face this little dragon and you deal with it now, which is your body is doing everything it can to tell you to deal with it now. The love thing will take care of itself when you start feeling better, okay, number one. The thing about the other thing, too, is the depression about the people that have passed major news element for you here, major wake-up call. You know, I know, I mean, I know you've read with other people out there, but and I'm sure they're going to say a lot of the same things I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to really, you know, say man to man, you know, number one, those people didn't die. Their body left the world. They didn't die. Their spirits are well and happy and with you, and they've done everything they can to make their presence known to you. And you've had stuff happen that you've kind of ignored and not even seen. And it's time to start, you know, realizing that, hey, don't worry about that. The fact that they passed on that happens every day. We all go through that experience. We all end the ride the same way. And when we come out to the other side of it, we're whole again. You know, it may take a little time for us to get whole again because we've got little imprints and little damages from this body thing that we still carry with us when we get over there, and we have to heal from that. And then when we come through it about a year or so later, you know, and some people are faster than others, but what happens is that when that happens, they become whole again, and they're every bit what they were before and more. And that's the magic part of it. So let that go, because that's weighing you down. In this life, you're here to do good for other people. But not only that, here's the selfish but beautiful part of it. And I say selfish for a very good reason. Selfish is not bad. A lot of people say that. Old society says, oh, God, you can't be selfish. Well, the whole purpose of you being an individual and incarnating as an individual is because you have needs and you have desires and wants and you have a mission. And before you can help anybody else, you got to help yourself. So, you know, major baseball bat to the head, dude, because this is what it's going to take, you know, because I got the same thing. It happened to me. But I got hit upside the head till it was like, oh, that hurts. I get it now. And in your case, it's love will come when you've been selfish enough to take care of yourself first.
Yeah, because you can't be home.
There you go. So if you can fix yourself up, and it's hard. It's the hardest thing there is. I'm having to go through right now, my friend, and change my life all around. And I'm watching, you know, my father who's going through, you know, major illness, you know, and my mother's frustrated and dealing with it, and we're going through all this pain and stuff. But you know what? You know, in the middle of all the changes we're going through, I've seen more love in this household than we saw in all the years combined. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you look at that, you know, the challenges you've gone through and all that, and when you start waking up and looking around and seeing the spirits that are around you who are there, you're going to experience all that love. And not only that, you're going to have all the wonderful things that come from discovering that you can do for yourself and put yourself first. Put yourself first, because that's what you haven't been doing, you know. And it's just, I just feel that strong with you. There's a female who's associated with you from the other side, a particular female. I don't know the name here, but I'm gonna say it. Let me go back to my training here, because sometimes I forget to use my own system that I've been taught. This is mom's side.
Okay.
And this, did mother have an aunt? Was there an aunt? Was there a sister to your mom? That's it. Was there a sister? Did your mom have sisters?
Yeah, she had one sister who's my godmother, who's still alive, and another sister who passed away, I believe, at like 2 years old.
You have a godmother that's still alive?
Yes.
What is her name?
Her name is Theodora. Well, Theodora, it's Spanish, but...
Okay, and what is the nickname?
Her nickname?
Yeah, does she have a nickname?
No. I just call her, you know, my godmother.
Okay, well, I was getting, I kept getting an M name, and that's what I was looking for. I think we're with her, that she's still alive. Are you, as a godmother, she's so close to you?
Yeah, I mean, she lives in Spain, so, like, I haven't been back there maybe in 3 years, possibly. On and off.
Do you keep in touch with mail or email?
No, not email. Like, my mother calls every weekend on Sunday to talk to her.
You might pop in. And your mother's close enough by that you could pop in and be a part of that conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you might do that. I just feel like there's something there that'll help you with that. There's a connection there. Now the other sister that did pass, what is her name?
Maria. Obviously I never met her. She passed away when she was two.
Okay, this makes sense now, because, all right, you have this female spirit. I got the M name, and here's Maria. Okay, so Maria is the one that, so you have the live connection, and your mother's still alive, so.
Yes.
You've got these three women who each have a vested interest in you. One
mm-hmm.
you've never met, one is your godmother, and one is your mother. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And really, you've got three women who really care about you, and one in spirit who you've never met who still loves you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she's really been, she's really a cast iron woman. I mean, she's stronger than hell. She's kicking your butt about all this. She's really, what I'm getting from her is she's like egging you on to get going. Don't stop. Don't sit there and feel bad. There's no time for that. What's the time for right now is the time for you to fix it. You know, fix yourself. She's really
mm-hmm.
pushing this. Have you had experiences in your bathroom or bedroom area where you've been seeing spirit energies, or have you been having these? Has there been stuff going on in your home?
You know what? There is. Sometimes I don't pick it up. I guess I don't know.
Well,
no
let me put it this way. I would not be surprised if you started having it happen, you know, once you start looking around. But what I
okay.
feel is that you have had this Maria amongst others who
mm-hmm.
have been from the other side popping in. And you may see little lights. You may see, one of the things I get is when a spirit entity is trying to make themselves known is that you'll see a little point of light. Sometimes, you know, you'll be in a dark room. You'll go in, and for no apparent reason, there will be a little point of light, and it will be very bright, and then gone. And you're going, was that my eyes playing tricks? No, not
mm-hmm.
your spirit. You may end up having the water taps turn themselves on. You may end up having noises that are going to be inexplicable. But, you know, the bottom line is they're trying to knock around to get your attention, and it's their way of kind of announcing themselves. The other will be dreams and things like that that will come through that will be very powerful. In your case, with the survival stuff going on, it's even more important because you're in the process of this heart thing, which can be reversed once you pay
mm-hmm.
attention to it, go in and get it looked at. They're going to find, you know, you're going to find out that you've got some things to deal with, and it's
mm-hmm.
going to be hard work, but they'll be with you there through the whole thing. And you when you start making these changes, you know, the character of the dreams change too. So
mm-hmm.
be on the lookout. Just be aware. But really, to finally answer the ultimate question, though, the message is, you know, with the changes you're going to make, you're going to get better, and you will have a relationship, a love relationship, come to you. It's just
okay.
to make the Trinity that is you whole. You got to deal with the health thing. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like that's my biggest thing right now, because. You know, like when the whole thing happened, yeah, I got depressed and everything, pushed everybody out of the way. Then I felt like I was getting better because I started dating again and felt like I was getting better. I was going to the gym every day. I was eating healthy. Everything was going great. And then all of a sudden, I just felt like I was getting into this slump again. And, you know, like I'm a smoker and I never used to smoke more than like half a pack a day.
Well,
you know.
There you go, man. I mean, this is all, you know, and right now it's time to wake up and start shifting course. You know, we've only got
yeah.
a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to have to call it here. But
okay.
I really enjoyed reading you, and I'm glad I did, because I think this is going to change your life.
Okay.
You know, if it were me, and if I was in your shoes, my friend, I would
mm-hmm.
be waking up on Monday morning and making an appointment with a doctor. You know,
right.
and then taking charge of my life, because you've got a lot to live for, and there's a woman out there with her name all over your existence, and she's going to want you too. So, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Manny. Well, thanks for calling.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, friend.
Bye.
that, and that. And with that, this is Soul Stream. We've had an extended edition here on Sunday night. And I had a ball tonight, and I wanted to thank everybody for being here. We've got Anastasia, Bob H., Carrie Whisper, Castle, Kathy Stistineko, my dear friend Kathy. Here, I'll just say that. And Cupid's psychic, Amy. And Amy was our guest tonight and just a sweetheart, and we'll be having her back on. Chris, I see you out there, curious listener. Dana, we got Scott Wise from GASP, a great paranormal investigator, a good friend of mine. We have Gerber Daisy TM. We got a guest out there, Manny, who we just helped. And we've got Margaritaville, Mystic Shava, Nancy Mum, my friend in the earthquake country out there, Sacred Guardians, excuse me, Senor Jingpi. And we got Sharon, my dear friend Sharon, at Rolling Hills Asylum. And go there. It's a haunted place. And we have Startup. And to all the lurkers out there, thank you. We got about 10 seconds left. We'll be on next week doing EVP on air and some psychic readings. So I'll be doing that. I may pop on with the show midweek if I feel like it. So with that, we're off. See you guys.